People of Note on Fine Music Radio is proudly brought to you each week at this time by Peter Turin Productions. Fine Music Radio and Rodney Trudgeon inviting you to this week's edition of People of Note. Now, before I introduce you to my guests, let me tell you that the 2020 Backsburg Picnic Concert Series is about to begin. They've just entered a new decade with a fantastic band lineup for their annual picnic concert series. Since its inception in 2008, the outdoor events have grown in popularity. They've become very much a staple of the region's outdoor entertainment calendar. The Wine Farmer itself is over 100 years old, and it's one of the Western Cape's most beautiful estates with a glorious outdoor setting. Now, one of the acts is one of South Africa's best-known singers, Arno Karstens, who's performing on the 1st of March. And Arno is, I dare say you know, is an award-winning singer, songwriter, and fine artist based in Cape Town. And during his career, you remember, as the lead singer of the Springbok Nude Girls, and subsequently as a solo artist, he's released multiple albums in both English and Afrikaans, a string of successful singles, including Best Rock Album Awards, Best Alternative Album, Song of the Year, and he's headlined every major South African music festival, and it's a great pleasure to introduce you to Arno. Arno Karstens here in the Fine Music Radio studio. Arno, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me, Rodney, and hello to the listeners.
Indeed. It's nice. I'm intrigued to know, by the way, what music you're going to choose, but we'll get to that in a moment. This festival, this concert series, you're on the 1st of March, I see, and what can people expect from you? Because you're quite a draw card, aren't you, may I say?
Well, I've been doing it for so long that I'm sure that, you know, after so many years, I think you get quite good at your job. So I think, and with the musicians that I share the stage with, it makes for quite a wonderful experience musically. So hopefully we'll have a couple of people there to come and enjoy the music with us.
I'm sure you will. Do you enjoy playing at festivals like this, outdoor festival?
Now, for me, the setting of a venue, the fauna and flora and the look of it and everything, it kind of contributes, it becomes an element of the show. So you get the audience, the musician, and then the setting. Mm-hmm. You know, and that makes for a wonderful experience for the artists and for the audience as well.
So how now do you choose your artists that play with you in a gig like this? Who do you choose? Is it a regular group?
Yes, I've got my guys, all these young guys from Cape Town. Cape Town is blessed with incredible talent, especially the young jazz guys. You know, if you're a jazz musician, you can play anything.
Okay.
So I kind of do enjoy jazz guys, the jazz background, because they're just fantastical musicians. So, yeah, I mean, my keyboard player, Dave Watkins, plays keyboard with the one hand and trumpet with the other hand at the same time. So that the drummer plays three different instruments. I mean, these guys are, and they're super proactive. They're not like us from the 90s. We were miserable and we were lazy. But we had a lot of spunk in a weird way. But these guys, the younger ones, are much nicer and they're more
interesting
proactive.
Interesting to hear you say this. Why were you miserable in the 90s?
I think it was Generation X. You know, we came from the Morrissey and the alternative rock music thing. I think we were just miserable people.
And what you're saying is that these youngsters now,
they just, I just find the young people don't drink as much as we used to or party as much as we used to. So they're much more positive.
Mm-hmm. And so you select from a group, you've got like a pool that you select from, judging by what you're going to play and perform and all that.
Well, these musicians, all of them, they also start their own cliques. Like I remember when I lived in the UK, you will have like three drummers because there's so much happening that they got to like have a stand in for themselves. So same as South Africa, all these musicians have got their guys that, so when one person can't make it, they'll get another one, but it's always from the same group.
Okay. And what sort of thing will you be singing? Tell us what we can expect.
Okay, well, you know, obviously I've got, what, almost 12 albums or 13 albums out. So some songs are really good live. So I'll do those things. And then this, of course, all the singles that people know. And then that's for my solo career. And I've done, in my career, I've done one Afrikaans album. So I'll do...
Really?
For some reason,
I thought you'd done more.
No, I've only done one, and I've actually written the new one, and I was supposed to start recording it now, but we've pushed it out till next year. I started very late with my Afrikaans thing, But so I'll do some Afrikaans songs, so mostly English stuff, and then some of my older hits and newer stuff that I've done last year and now. And then, of course, Springbok Nuggets songs, some of that. And then just like my favorite song in the world, for instance, I'll do that.
Are you going to tell us what that is?
Well, it's Waterboy's Hole of the Moon. I just always loved the song. So we'll do that. And who knows, because it's a more relaxed outdoor event, I might throw in another cover version of a mystery artist.
So do you, I hope this is not a naive question, when you do a gig like this at Baxburg and you've got this pool of musicians that you bring in, these young guys, how do you arrange the music? Do you arrange it, or how do you work together to get the sound that you want?
Well, we have, over the years of doing, I do a two-man show, a three-man show, and the full band show. Over the years, we've sort of...
You've sort of got to know each other.
And yeah, the way they know what I like and what I don't like. And I make them do, I send them stuff. I say, let's get something like that, let's get something like that. And
okay.
So, yeah.
And this comes from a classical background. Now, how often or how long do you rehearse for something like this concert? Or is it quite spontaneous?
We play so much that we... pretty on top of it, so I think one rehearsal will be enough.
Oh, just
but
more
so with the
balance.
Nuggets, we don't play that much. We'll do two rehearsals.
Okay. Are the Springbok Nuggets still in existence?
Yes, we do like, say, three shows a year, if there's some cool shows, a lot of money or whatever. But this year, we've been working on an album for 2 years, because some of the guys are living in America and in the UK, so we had like 2 weeks to do an album. So, and we've been mixing it for a year because we don't have a record company. So whenever we get a time off, then we mix it.
Okay.
So this year we're going to put out the album and we're going to try and do two or three or four nice biggish shows. So this year is the year that I'm going to pay a lot of attention or more attention on the Nuggets.
Okay.
Just to get us, just to, that it doesn't feel like it's an add-on, once, just do it well again.
It's good to know that it's still going, because it's been going for a long time, hasn't it, the Springbok Nuggets?
Yes, we broke up, and then I started my, I went solo. I think 5 years later, we just all missed the energy and missed doing the songs and stuff. So then we got back together again, and we did it again. But, over time, we can't fly around the guy from America anymore all over the place. You know, it's just not worth it.
Yeah.
So now I've got some of my guys who is in my solo band who's standing in for the bassists and the keyboarders every now and then. But that happens to most bands.
You hear
Smashing
about
Pumpkins
that.
Is just the most of the members, some of the members are back now. But, you know, as time goes by, even the Rolling Stones, everybody, you lose a person here and there.
Mm-hmm. Now, look, let's have a first piece of music. Arno Karsten is my guest. Don't Let It Be. Tell me what this is all about.
Well, that's a song I brought out just before Christmas last year. And I think, you know, sometimes you write a song and you go, wow. I had it with Another Universe as well. Is when you write and you just can't believe that you actually wrote that. Because that's so beautiful. And this song kind of, although it's quite a rough recording, I wanted to keep it in that with that bit of magic in it. But I really love the lyrics, and I think it speaks to where we are today in our country and in the world. And it's got a positive undertone and layered with beautiful lyrics. And therefore, I would like to share that with the listener.
This one and this one and that one, destroying all that's one, a few amongst the many, many amongst the few. Some say all's well in Jerusalem, some say we fell of the road. Gentle world lost to the pendulum. Swing high, swing low. Let the gentle touch return. The same song but redone in the junkyards, in the slums. feed the thirst that's overwhelming. And maybe most definitely, the changeling's being born. As we speak, it's being torn from the sins of our fathers. Some say heaven is in the air that we breathe. We contain the spark of the divine when we weep for our brothers. And break me or move me over, for God's sake, just salute to a slither of hope. And rise, just take us from these prison walls that broke us. It's the end of the road, or the beginning of something new. Some say there's hope amongst the worst of us, but I must be blind, my ears hurt for the endless repeats. From the dimming sun to the warring winds, search endlessly and be free. Don't let it be. Don't let it be. Don't. 'Cause it's this one and this one and that one, grow slowly you will see. Change amongst the many. The same song but redone, familiar as it is. Don't let it be. Some say hell is just a symbol of despair. In the junkyard and slums, it's the weakest that needs care. Don't let it be. Don't let it be. Don't let it be. Don't let it be. Don't let it be.
Well, there you heard the voice of my guest, Arno Carstens, a song that, as you heard, he's just written called Don't Let It Be. Arno Carstens is my guest on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio, brought to you by Peter Turing Productions, because Arno will be performing on the 1st of March at the Baxburg Picnic Concert Series. Arno, you were saying how you had written this in the ballad. It had a ballad feel, but am I right in saying that you're a bit of a rock and roller?
Yes, of course. The Nootgills comes from a very rock and roll. In fact, we were, I think the band that was louder than us in the 90s was Batra Nege. And we used to tour with them because it was a wonderful, you know, we'll play, say, at 10 at night, and they will like end off the show after us, just because, and they were industrial electronica.
Oh, okay.
So, the 90s, where we come from, was with the grunge era. And it was extremely heavy, and we didn't care much about lyrics. It was all about an emotional outburst of
and noise,
nonsensical lyrics that sounds cool. Just throw in the word dinosaur somewhere in a volcano, then it's a hit.
But you said while we were chatting just now, Arno, that you said rock and roll seems to be out of fashion now in South Africa. Is that true?
Well, look, it is worldwide not as popular as what it used to be in the 90s, but then again, the world always changes. Mm. At the moment, I think rap is probably the biggest thing in the world. But you know, everything changes as well. But the fact is that rock is still very big everywhere except South Africa, in a way. South Africa, we're quite hanging on to the American lips. And it's more of a rap thing and music with just beats. I think that's where South Africa is at the moment.
You make it sound, is that a good thing? Is that not a good thing?
It is a good thing. It is a good thing because for in Afrikaans they say, elke klippie vir 'n gaatjie, every dog gets his day and all those things. Yeah. So it is a good thing. But the fact is, I think we can be broader. South Africa can be broader in, you know, for instance, every 2 weeks I create a playlist and I put it out on Twitter and everywhere. And that is stuff that I get from all over the world. And it's, the rock is happening and there's incredible stuff happening out there, new productions and stuff. But somehow South Africans, I find us, we quite follow. We're followers, we're not trendsetters.
So do you think this will come back? Do you think we'll become a rock and roll place again?
Yes, it will come back. And it is, I mean, in the Afrikaans genre, Frans van Cooke and them are doing so well. And I mean, it's massive, the rock scene in the Afrikaans thing. But not the English thing.
What are some of the rock bands that we should know about that are doing so well at the moment internationally? He said, not my
retro. Idols is this British band that they do. You see, everything comes back again. And we're actually in a punk phase now. But it's not punk as we know it, where you were screaming angry words.
Yeah.
The world in itself doesn't need angry words. The world is on the edge of collapsing. So now the new punk movement is actually with punk beats, but with quite positive lyrics, which is quite a juxtapositioning
of the punk
situation.
Rock
and
of the
I
60s.
Love it. You know, it's like amazing. It's like, there's such exciting British and Scottish bands out there that is really happening. And in South Africa, I tell you, whenever I go to the rehearsal spaces, it's filled with metal bands and thing is bands. And the last year, the end of last year, we played, the Nutcals played at Mercury up the road, and the two young supporting bands that was supporting us was fantastic, and it was, the audience was young, and it was, they were moshing, and it's crazy, it felt like the 90s. So there is a undercurrent happening, and which is always cool. It's always cool to be in the underground, because the underground, until the underground becomes the mainstream, then it's uncool again. So in a way, we're quite in an exciting phase again in the music.
But industry. Remember earlier, Arno, you said that the musicians that you get to play with you, they, you say they're young, they're incredibly enthusiastic, they're jazz. So those people aren't going that underground route, are they?
They are.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, a musician wants to break new boundaries, want to embrace new productions and stuff like that. So these, especially jazz, remember jazz is everything all over the place. So there's so many avenues to go, and the whole what's happening in the world, there's so many amazing things for these artists to indulge themselves into.
Yeah, gosh. So we can call you a good old rocker in the true sense of the word.
Well,
maybe
kind
not old.
Of sticks to you. I tell you, I think they say, well, what you listen to in your early 20s, or from 90 to 21, that's sort of your basis that you're going to listen to kind of for the rest of your life.
Okay.
You'll always hink back to that a little bit.
But it also means that you as a performer have to constantly adapt, doesn't it? To
which
keep
is
yourself
the fun
relevant.
Part. I get depressed sometimes listening to music that I used to listen to when I was younger, because I've killed it for myself, you know what I mean? And so I'm very much into also discovering new, I've always been into new groundbreaking stuff.
Okay. Which is important, I think, is probably why you're so successful, because of this ability to adapt and be interested in groundbreaking stuff. Do you agree?
Yeah. Yes, you got it.
What is our next piece of music? I see we're heading in a rock and roll direction now.
I think we should go for Smashing Pumpkins. Because Smashing Pumpkins' history, there's a little bit of overlap with the Springbok Nutcals, and the fact that it's a very successful band from the 90s that broke up, but never the lead singer went on with the name. And he brought out loads of more albums under Smashing Pumpkins, but they're not in the mainstream anymore, although they play to packed stadiums all over the world. The rock thing isn't the main attention in the media anymore. And last year they brought out, with the original lineup, they brought out an album, and the song I'm going to play now, I think, is one of the best songs of the year from last year. So it's just that thing. We're all still alive, we're all still going, and it's still kicking out there. It's a matter of you just opening your eyes and asking the right questions, and then you'll find where we are.
And ears. What is it called?
So it's Smashing Pumpkins.
Silvery Sometimes.
Silvery Sometimes. I still don't know what it's about, but it sounds good.
Is this going to be heavy rock? Shall I hide under the desk?
No, no, no. It's actually, it reminded me of their biggest hit, which was that 1965 song or something. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's listen to the Smashing Pumpkins. That's ever been heard on Fine Music Radio before. Smashing Pumpkins, Silvery Sometimes, another choice, the second choice of my guests on People of Note this week. Arno Carstens, award-winning singer-songwriter, and he is performing at the Backsburg Picnic Concert Series on the 1st of March. Arno, you were reacting very well to that song.
It makes me feel so good.
Is it a great album?
Well, I call it the curse of the album thing. We've all had that experience. Every album's only got three good songs. But then you fall in love with the B-sides once you get into the album, and then you understand what's going on in the artist's head. It's almost with the not-so-good songs, he paints the colors of the story.
Okay.
But times has changed now these days. I think music is closing down very soon, and I mean they, CDs don't is not a thing anymore. So I started last year, bringing out a single every 3 months, so which is fantastic for the artists because we get to spend all our time in the studio constantly. And you concentrate more on one song than a whole 10 songs. But I still write 10 songs or 20 songs, which I would then, choose from.
Mm-hmm.
So last year I put out 4 songs. Now I'm busy with another 2, and then another 2, and another, and then eventually I'll package it all together as an album.
Okay.
But this way you get people to literally listen to, whenever you put out a song, people do listen to it. Where if you put out an album, they'll listen to the 2 big singles and not care much for the other stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I suppose it's true, I should say. But then how do you put it out? Are you talking about online?
Yes, everything is, you know, Spotify.
You don't go to the shop and buy 7 singles.
No, you don't. You know that actually musicians can't sell their music anymore. You just stream it, so.
That's what I was looking for,
interesting, streaming. Yeah.
And how do you let it be known that this is out there?
Well, on Facebook, Twitter,
okay,
Instagram,
media,
you make a big hoo-ha about one song.
Mm-hmm. And then when you put it all together for an album, say of 10 songs, would that be released commercially? Would you be able to go and buy it? Or would it then still be on streaming?
No, just digital. I think I'll probably print a couple of CDs or maybe do some LPs. But we'll see about that.
Okay. Gosh, times do change, don't they?
Yeah.
Anyhow, Arno, I want to find out, I mean, you've become a bit of a sort of idol in South Africa, cult figure in some ways as well. So I want to know where does the music come from in you? Do you come from a musical family?
Well, I was the youngest of 4 brothers. So I grew up, and I was a lot lamiki. So the thing is, you grow up going through all their teenage spurts. So I remember growing up and then listening to Van Halen and AC/DC and Black Sabbath, and then the other brother went in, the one went to the army, and the other, then it was Depeche Mode and the new wave era, Tears for Fears and stuff, and then there was a reggae thing happening and everybody was listening to Bob Marley, and from there it was the Doors. And then I think
in
the 90s, when it was our time, when I was 19 or 18 years old, then it was Pixies and Nirvana and stuff, and then Springbok Noodles, and so in that sense, and you know, I was pretty useless in sport and in academics, so my mum said I must try and play guitar.
Okay.
So I did I did drama in Worcester. We have a small little drama group, and then we also did a lot of choir singing. So I've been singing choir my whole life, and then I started writing songs at standard 5 because I thought the radio was so terrible that I thought I could write better songs than what was playing on radio, influenced by the music my brothers were listening to.
Yeah.
And we also started importing, me and my friends, we imported a lot of music, just because really South African music was so, the South African radio was so
Yes. Arno, this business of writing songs, you write the lyrics and the music, don't you? Where does that come from? Is it just inherent?
It's just a necessity of... you've got a voice, you're making a tune, you're going to hum to it, might as well put a word with it. It's just a natural progression of playing around.
And does it come to you easily? Like you said, how, remember you said the song that you played that was such a beautiful song? I think it was our first song, don't you?
Yeah.
That came to you and you were so impressed by how beautiful it was. Does this happen a lot?
Yes. You know, it's a very weird thing. Subconsciously, like sometimes I dream up songs and I quickly wake up and I record it on my phone. But, you know, subconsciously, things stick in your mind. If you go to a shop and you'll hear a tune far in the distance, you know, walk out and you start humming something.
Yes.
But it's not correct. It's not a correct replica of what you just heard. But then suddenly there's a song on its own starting to happen there.
Okay.
So I found that is also a good way of... there's a lot of exercises of songwriting. For instance, what you do is you put off the sound on the TV and then you try and write what you think is happening there.
Good grief. Do you mean musically, write what the music is or the words as well?
Yeah, and you make up the story, what you think is happening over there. Yeah, this, it's a lot of fun. For me, it's like playing Lego.
You mean composing?
Yeah.
Composing. And can you just tell me briefly about your very first professional gig? How did you become famous?
Well, you know, for us... the insignificant gigs where there's like 30 people, 50 people... sometimes become massive in a historical way for yourself.
Yeah.
But I don't know. The name Springbok Noodles was a big thing. Remember, after Mr. Mandela came out of jail, this country was on fire. I'm talking about the good fire.
Yeah.
About
yeah.
the Madiba magic.
That's right.
And everybody wanted to party. For once, we were part of the world. We weren't banned anymore. And that's also when I decided, I was a big Voel Vry fan before that. But as soon as we were part of the world, I wanted to sing in English because we were not banned anymore, and I wanted to be part of the world. And that is why we, and I wanted to also do the songs that I grew up with, or not do, but, you know, replicate the kind of stuff that we were listening to, Sonic Youth, Nirvana, mm-hmm. whatever. So that's why we went, the Nootkos were predominantly singing in English.
Okay. What's your next piece? Huma Sakela, I see.
Huma Sakela. You know, he said something before he passed away, and he said, in order to reach your full potential and to reach the bigger audiences, you should go inside. And I think that I've wasted a lot of time in my career trying to please or sound like other people. And I just want to reiterate what he said there to all the young listeners out there. Be yourself. That is the quickest way. Your unique voice is what is important. And besides that, this song, I just think, is so relevant what is happening in the world again and what is happening in South Africa. And I love the message of the song. And I actually want to cover this with a big orchestra because it's such a fantastic song.
It's called Send Me.
Yes. Enjoy it.
I wanna be there when the people start to turn it around, when they triumph over poverty. I wanna be there when the people win the battle against AIDS. I wanna lend a hand. I wanna be there for the alcoholic. I wanna be there for the drug addict. I wanna be there for the victims of violence and abuse. I wanna lend a hand.
the late, great Hugh Masekela there, and that song called Send Me, another choice of my guest on People of Note this week here on Fine Music Radio, brought to you by Peter Trin Productions. Arno Carstens, you can hear Arno live at the Backsburg Picnic Concert Series on the 1st of March, him and his band. But Arno, talking about you and your band and being on stage, I notice, having read through, you've appeared with many famous groups as a sort of supporting act, haven't you?
Yes.
It's a lot of a who's who here.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Okay.
That is what a British a DJ on the radio, I did an interview in England, and she said, she exactly what you just did. Yeah, she went through it, she went, always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
But still.
Well, that's correct.
The Rolling Stones, U2, the Police.
I don't mind being the bridesmaid for them.
Well, exactly.
No.
And what is that like? What sort of reaction or interaction do you have when you are working with a big group like this? Do they welcome you and are nice, or do they kind of ignore you as a sort of,
you know, I find
the bridesmaids?
What I find over the years is the more successful they are, the nicer they are.
Oh, that's the old story, isn't it? That's the old story.
So Rolling Stones, incredible. You know, was the nicest was Celine Dion.
Oh,
she and her late husband. I mean, they're just incredibly nice people. Mm-hmm. They would send us flowers every night. And so I did 5 nights with her. The funniest guy that I really enjoyed was Charlie and from Simple Minds. And then also Mitchua from Ultravox. Lovely people. Simple Minds and, you know, because they don't really care anymore.
They don't need to.
They had their time in the sun and they're so loaded. Yeah,
exactly.
And then, of course, I'm very good friends with Mike Rutherford, who's got a house here in Bantry Bay. And I've worked with him a bit on one of his albums and stuff, and we became very good friends. He helped me a bit on one of my albums.
Do you find that these big groups, and I suppose this is a silly question, like the Police, Rolling Stones, these big groups you're talking about, Celine Dion, do they listen to what you're playing and think, oh, that's not bad, or ask you about your music or anything?
They do eventually. I mean, you can't, it's so loud that eventually they can't get away from it. I remember after the U2 show, we were at the after party. I wasn't there, but Theo was standing, the guitarist was standing there, and Bono came to him and sang, Little. So Bono singing one of our songs. I thought, wow, that was so cool. I wish I was there.
Yeah.
But you can't get away from it, especially when you tour with them quite a bit. They actually start getting really into your stuff.
Mm-hmm. And this business of festival, I mean, you've been to major festivals, the Isle of Wight Festival, Glastonbury, Hard Rock Calling, Tea in the Park. These are big international festivals, aren't they?
Yeah, they've been fantastic. I mean, I've done a lot of Isle of Wight because I do know the owner of the Isle of Wight Festival, who's also my agent. And you just see such great acts. I mean, I was lucky enough to see Fleetwood Mac the other day, a couple of years back, and so many great artists. It's just always such a privilege.
So, Arno, you are basically a guitar player and singer. That's your... You play
acoustic.
Guitar, acoustic guitar. Good.
Kind of adequate acoustic player.
Okay, and singer?
I'm very blessed with quite a unique voice. As much as I always wanted to sound like Nick Cave, and I think he tried to sound like... Frank Sinatra. We never end up sounding like our heroes. But the fact is, if you've got an original voice, that is one foot into the door of success, a little bit right there, and you've got to embrace it. Mm-hmm. I can go extremely high and extremely low, and that is my that's my superpower.
Okay. So, and clearly, by your saying that, sounds like you enjoy that part most, the vocal stuff of your life, of your performing.
Well, I do get a great pleasure in writing beautiful lyrics once that is bestowed upon me, which is not always.
Mm-hmm. I wonder why you write beautiful lyrics. I'm sure there's not an answer to
that. As long
as
I think it's beautiful.
Yes, yes. No, but it's here you are thinking of you as a hard rocker, a rock and roll artist, and you kind of don't think of beautiful lyrics going with hard rock, and you can hit me if you like for saying that.
Yes. In the Nude Girls, we didn't care. In the 90s, the Nude Girls, we really didn't care about lyrics. We would just have the chorus, and then we'd fill in everything around it. But going solo, and I do also come from a singer-songwriter before the Nude Girls, you know, used to write this stuff on acoustic guitar. So after the Nude Girls, I went back to that kind of singer-songwriter and concentrating more on the lyrics than just a party on air.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, fair enough. And is your life quite busy? Because it sounds as though it's quite busy.
Yes, I wake up, I paint. And
I want to get to that, so don't say too much about that.
Well, I wake up, I paint, I get bored of painting, I go, right. Normally your back gets sore Well, you just have to take a break. So, and then I write a bit, and then I paint again, and then I write again. And so that's, I'm basically living my school dream.
And you live in Cape Town, don't you? You're based in Cape Town.
Yes, around the Simonstown area.
Okay, so that must be rather beautiful. Where were you born?
Worcester, in the winelands.
Yes.
Yeah, it's basically, we're in the middle of a volcano. I think we're surrounded by mountains, so and it's almost a very interesting, tough place. But I always used to look up to the mountains, and I thought that's where help comes from.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And this, so you're a real Cape Town, you're a Cape person.
Extremely Cape Town.
And how often do you travel these days, internationally?
No, all the time. Well, you know what, the Rand is so terribly, it's not doing well. So I didn't, for us, it's just costing us money to go overseas now. So last year I didn't go, but maybe this year I'll go again.
Mm-hmm.
But normally you try and go once a year.
And you have a family, I know.
Yes, I've got my wife and my son.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
How old is your son? Is he going to be a rocker?
7. Hopefully not. I think we're sending him into programming and all stuff like that. You know, but the whole world is sending their children to programming.
That is true. That is
so
true.
Maybe you should be a space farmer.
Oh, that might also become a
farm asteroids.
Farm asteroids.
Yeah.
Oh, farm asteroids.
Yeah.
I thought we'd made up a new word there.
Farm asteroid. I like that. I like your
farm
word.
Farm asteroid. What do you do? I'm a farm asteroid. I want to talk to you about your painting, but before that, let's have another piece of music. Sharon van Etten, tell me what we're going to listen to.
Okay, this is just a beautiful song about a mother. It's her message to her daughter that she was also once 17. And so watch it.
Okay.
And you know what? You know what? You just get the vibe. It's one of those songs where it's just, again, the feeling that, and it's almost the same as that Smashing Pumpkins song. It's a nice driving song, but you get a feeling and you kind of, I love when songs can bring out an emotion.
I don't know. That was called 17, Sharon van Etten. Probably also the first time, Arno, that that's been played on Fine Music
Definitely.
Radio. But we do break rules on People of Note. We are strict otherwise to accommodate our vast array of guests, like yourself. It's good to have a rocker in the studio for a change. Can I call you a rocker?
You can call me whatever you want.
No, well, let's stop at rocker.
Okay.
But, Arno, I mentioned about painting, and apparently this is quite important. Oils, acrylic, canvas. Tell me about that, because how many people know that about you?
Well, I think a lot of people, because I put it all over my Instagram these days. But look, I think last year I went up a gear. It's just a long journey. You know, I used to call myself an artist in matric in my last days of school. I just, I was constantly in the school and I loved it. And I wanted to go study fine arts, but my parents said, no, I'm going to study graphic art because there's more money in it. After the army, I didn't want to study anything, so I forgot about. I did study a bit of graphic art, but it didn't go anywhere. Then the band started, and now as the wheel turns, now I've done one exhibition. I'm going to do another exhibition this year, but now I'm getting back there again. I don't think I'm where I'm supposed to be yet, but it's a long journey. But you know, painting is my hobby. But it's also nice to sell a painting here and there. But I call it my hobby in a way because I've still got a long way to go until I'm satisfied. What? I don't think you're ever satisfied.
Well, that's the thing. If you're a true artist, maybe you're not, hey?
No.
What sort of style do you use?
Man, expressionism. But I always thought I was surrealism, but it's more expressionism, surrealism. But at the moment, I just want to create stuff that I enjoy to look at.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really care what type of art it is.
It comes back to what you said earlier about be yourself and not try and copy someone else. And if people want to see your art, where do they go?
Well, there's an Arno Carstens fineart.com thing.
All right.
Or on my Instagram or Twitter or Facebook.
Okay, so Arno Carstens fineart.com is probably the easiest for people to have a look what you do. And then you spoke about driving music and noise and stuff like that. Do you ever listen to any gentle classical music, for example?
Yes, I do. I'm not very good with names, but I was thinking I should have brought out my surprise guns. I've got a couple of very interesting stuff, some fabulous opera singers. Which is voices that incredible.
Voices, appeal to you.
And
do you relax? I mean, it sounds that you're quite busy, although you do paint, has, I dare say, a therapeutic side. But are you a chef? Do you go running?
Man,
do you fish?
I love, somehow when I, you know, painting and music is almost a love-hate relationship because 90% of the time you're fighting something that you think is ugly. And you're taking away eventually until you've got something that's pure and beautiful for yourself. So to get away from that almost self-inflicting, you know, situation.
Yes.
I just, sometimes it's amazing just to go run. Just go run a bit. And then also clarity comes in and stuff like that. So I do enjoy running. And also because I live on the beach, me and my son constantly in the waves. That is lovely. I'm not a surfer, but I scream like a gull when I catch a wave. And the lighter side of life.
Yes,
a bit of cards and
nice balance.
Yeah,
nice balance. Arno, we've sort of reached the end now. It's been really fascinating talking to you. I think you might be the first South African rocker I've spoken to here on Fine Music Radio.
Yes,
on People of Note. So thanks for guiding me through this interview. But now, and through the music that you've chosen.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm a little bit scared of the last piece, Francois van Cook, because you were talking about the sort of styles and bits and pieces.
But this is a funny one.
Okay.
So this is on Francois' new album. It's called Does Her Boys. And I kind of like the humor of the song. And I think it's just a nice, lighthearted song to go out on. And it's got a great vibe. And I thought this was his best song ever, but apparently not. I must say, over the years, I've come to realize that what I think is good is not necessarily what everybody thinks is good. But that is a good thing.
That's exactly a good thing. Thank you very much, Arno.
Thank you very much
for
having me.
Speaking to you. Awesome. Arno Carstens, you can see him on the 1st of March at the Baxburg Picnic Concert Series at that beautiful wine estate. Here we go with Francois van Cook and a thing called
Daze Boys.
People of Note on Fine Music Radio was proudly brought to you by Peter Turin Productions.
Peter Turin presents Mel Brooks's hilarious musical comedy, The Producers, a record-breaking winner of 12 Tony Awards, starring Alan Committee, Terence Bridgett, Earl Gregory, and a full knockout South African cast. Enjoy such comedy hits as I Wanna Be a Producer, When You Got It, Flaunt It, Springtime for Hitler, and many more. Don't miss The Producers, on now until the 28th of March, only at Theatre on the Bay. For a comic start to your year, book now.